Boy, do we have a treat this morning, Steve. You know, I've just gotten to know you a little bit. Boy, what a blessing you are for this group. You are truly, truly, truly a blessing, a man of the Lord. We looked up loyal servant in the dictionary, and I saw a picture of Steve. I can't remember what version it was, but I'm sure it was Steve. Come up, tell us the story, your life story in 30 minutes.
Hey, by the way, has anybody ever saw the movie The Jerk by Steve Martin? Remember that one? Well, I was born a poor black child in Kansas. And I was adopted by a wonderful couple, Jack and Jenny Thompson, and we lived on the Kansas side for my first 2 years. My dad was a salesman for all of Kansas on heavy equipment, Minneapolis Moline, and they had moved him to Oklahoma City. And that's where his family was from. In fact, they're buried. Both my parents are buried in Tonkawa. Well, he wasn't there very long, and they decided, hey, let's put you in charge of Omaha and do the whole region. He said, before the song was written, take this job and shove it. So they got me packed in the car, and we drove to Tucson. We drove to San Diego. Coming back through, go to Oklahoma, stop in Denver, and saw Lloyd and his family. He says, hey, go take a look at Boulder. Thank goodness. I could have been a cactus lover or a squid. I'm a mountain boy. I mean, I love it in the mountains and always have. I'm so thankful. As we came here in 1958, when Boulder was little and conservative, and it was a great place to be. I started my sales career up on Christmas Tree Drive. My mom would let me have half a popsicle, and I would go out and sell it for a nickel to the kids. I think I was 5 years old. Did okay. Unfortunately, I didn't understand and wasn't taught there is a cost of goods sold. She just let me have them. So I figured, you know, this sales stuff's pretty easy. I got a bunch of nickels in my pocket. This will be good. In elementary school, you know, I was going through all this stuff, and I think I was either spanked or sent to the principal every grade until I got in middle school. Can you imagine me slower talking and cutting up and all that? Oh, yeah, it's amazing. In fifth grade, we won the flag football championship. You know, that was kind of the start of my coaching and quarterbacking career. Junior high, I sold Best Line Zip cleaning products, you know, door to door. And I played football as a freshman. I wrestled as a freshman, and then everybody got muscles but me, and I got my butt canceled. But I continued on, so I helped go to the basketball team as an equipment man. And then I went along with baseball, which I don't know anything about baseball, but my buddies were playing, and the science professor was the teacher, you know, so I go. But I said, Coach, I got to have Wednesdays off. So I tromped through Heatherwood and sold this Zip, you know, 25 cents for a spray bottle. And I don't know how much the stuff was. And that was my first multi-level marketing. It didn't go super good at all. Now, I also, I got off into the wild woods by Wayne there. I trapped muskrats for 2 seasons. Had a guy that taught me how to do that. And we were out on a Saturday and a Sunday, just tromping through the creeks and all. And I think I got 13 pelts one season. And we'd take them down on Larimer Square, Larimer Street, and sell them, you know. Gosh, I thought that was great. I made, who knows what I made. But once we had our traps out and I caught a raccoon, you know, a big animal and all. And I'm like, oh my, and I go back home and get my dad. He comes in and we, you know, we get the raccoon out of it. And it scurries down the ring and I'm crying because, you know, that's Walt Disney, man. You got the doggone raccoon there. You can't be killing that. Next day I get up. Head down there, caught the same coon in the next trap down about 10, 15 yards. So that was scary for me. That's when I quit my hunting career. I had a pellet gun and I shot birds and gosh, I killed a robin once, you know, my mom told me not to do that. I killed sparrows, it was okay, but never could get a magpie because, you know, it's a distant shot. So I cried when I killed the bird too. Darn it, the robin, that was horrible. Really hurt me there for a while. Let's see, also, I started mowing yards. And we were never stored to the realtor that was in the Gun Barrel area. So at one point I got up to 16 yards in a week. And I took my money in the first summer, I bought Estes Rockets. Remember these puppies. Broke that one coming. This is over 50 years old. I just ruined my wing, my fin. But, you know, I'd work, and then I'd send off to Penrose, Colorado, my money orders. That's the way you did it. You got your stuff back earlier. And we built these rockets. And I probably have, I don't know, 30 of them. And I'm going to turn them loose to the grandkids once I decide to give away my trophies, but not yet.
Yeah.
And then the next year, as I was working, I bought backpacking supplies. And so this is my first pack that I got way back when. And I think I got this one as a gift. And Mrs. Moore tied on this, or sewed on this this for me so I could carry more, you know. And then we made the staff. And of course, it's got the markings here so we can keep track of, you know, how long the fish are that we catch. And it was a pretty good gig. We were doing Indian Peaks Wilderness Area before it was Wilderness Area. And we lived to build rockets or to go backpacking. And our biggest trip is we left 4th of July campground, went over Rapo Pass and down to, what's that one called, in Grand Lake. Then we came back through Kern Lake, Plumbing Pass, you know, we dropped down in there. And our goal was to go for a whole week and not see anybody. And I think we only saw two other people on that trip. So it really made it for us to get out, get outside. And so today, I just love doing that. You'd think after 69 years, I could remember this stuff. I got to look at my cards so I don't forget too much stuff. Okay, I had a Honda Mini Trail. So I was in a motorcycle gang way back when. And then I couldn't find a picture. And then I also rode a 50cc little one that a friend of mine had. And we would go through Gun Barrel in hopes not to get caught by the sheriffs because they would patrol that. And, you know, they went out on the golf course and all this. And I remember one specific time we were out of bounds working, and here comes somebody after us. Come to find out it was the ranger for the golf course, and they didn't want you there. And I'm way down Thompson's Ditch, way down there, thinking I'm good, cruising, you know, at 20 miles an hour. And I look over my shoulder to see if he's there, and I lay my bike down, burnt my leg. So thank goodness there's two kind of motorcycle riders, one that has a wreck and one that hasn't had it yet. Well, I've had mine. So I think I can ride motorcycles again because I've had my accident. Okay. After that, high school was kind of cool. I don't think I got too much trouble in high school. Junior high, we walked on Earth Day. I think that's today or tomorrow or something. I decided, well, we're going to walk to school. So we come from Gun Barrel all the way over to the middle school right down here. It used to be called Burbank. Now it's Manhattan. And then I got scolded, you know, half a dozen of us were tromping through there, miss school, and I pop off. And so the teacher makes me go to the principal and, you know, we have to explain our story. And I got out of there, but it was kind of touch and go. High school was a neat deal. I had a year off, so to speak. I didn't do much, but the second, third year, I was the athletic, I was the equipment manager. So my dad would say, oh, you hand out the jock straps. I put the straps on the helmets and I carry the shoulder pads and all that stuff. And then the next year I got promoted to athletic trainer. Really liked that. That was a good gig. Went to University of Lincoln for a 4 or 5 day deal in the summer, learned how to tape ankles and shoulders and all that. That was good. Oh, but I forgot to tell you another sales piece. When we were in junior high, I'd go down and buy
red licorice, you know, that bag of Twizzlers and stuff, cut it into five pieces, and then I'd sell it out of my locker. And I'd sell it for, you know, a nickel for a piece or something like that. And we'd take the money, and I was buying lift tickets to go to Eldora. That's the way we funded it, is to do that. I didn't get in trouble for that. I was learning, you know, how to be underground, sell it with nobody looking. That was kind of nice. But high school was neat. We just finished our 50th reunion. And because I grew up in Flatirons Elementary and Crestview Elementary and then Douglas Elementary and then Burbank and finally Fairview, I had friends from all schools. And oh, it was wonderful. I can't stress enough, if you haven't gone, go to a high school reunion, see who's there. I talked two or three people into going, oh, I don't want to go. Nobody I want to see. Well, there's people that might want to see you. So we got to go to those things and have fun. And we certainly did. Let's see. All right, next is Western State College of Colorado. So I went over to Gunnison. Meeting some of those people the senior week, you know, where all the parties are going on. Do I need to say more? I met up with some of the people I knew from first and second grade. Greg Bradbury here has been my buddy since 1963. We still see each other twice a year for lunch. And I was dating a lot of girls, and we were down at Elitch's, and there's this young gal over here on the side, you know, and I go, she's quiet. She's not here with anybody. She looks good. So I dated her a few times. I talked her into going to Western State. All right. And we saw each other occasionally that first quarter. We were on quarters. I came home the first 7 weeks because I had a girlfriend here in Boulder. So I wasn't really into the college life at that point. And then I got rushed for the fraternity in December, January of 1974, and started taking part in the fraternity and dated her significantly. She put on a little birthday party for me in 1974 called St. Thompson's Day. See, I figure if we got the President's Day, because Lincoln and Washington are right together, and Valentine's Day, and then St. Thompson's Day, and we could have a 5-day holiday. And she bought into that, put on a party, and we've been together ever since. So 74, boy, and I've been an item. Western State was great for me. I would live there now, but we have grandkids in Longmont, and Robin's not going. So I go to school, went to summer school. I got through college in 3.5 years, which really wasn't too smart, because as a freshman and a sophomore, I was competing with the juniors and seniors in business, which is my major, and struggling along. They all knew what to do and how to do it. But I started looking at the catalog, and I go, yeah, if I kind of doubled down here, I could get another major. I could get a major in physical education. So I go tromping in my advisor, Ken Kaiser, and I say, hey, if I don't take this and that and the other, I could get a double major in this. Steve, what are you going to use that for? Boy, am I glad I didn't listen to him. Because as you can tell, I got a sports and a sales theme going through my life. And so I took physical education, and wow. Dr. DeGutis, he had a performance lab, which still goes on today, where they take the older people and they hook them up and figure out how they're doing and what's their oxygen intake and their body fat and all. And I just love it. And at that point, too, I caught on to the military idea. And I started pursuing looking at becoming an officer in the United States Marine Corps, which my father did, as well as my uncle. And I remember DeGoos saw me one day. I was running in the evening. You know, he goes, hey, why don't you come out for track? No. Track. You run like crazy and you end up right where you started. That never made any sense to me. I'm not going to do track, but I'm pushing weights and all this. And I go to Denver and I take some agility thing and met the recruiters on campus a lot. I was probably 10 days away from going into the Marine Corps. And I came to my senses. One of two things would have happened. One, we'd have found Hodgkin's disease earlier. which could have been good, a lot less mistreatment and all like that. Or they'd have killed me. I mean, it's one or the other. I don't think I could have survived officers or the boot camp type thing. I wasn't going to be able to do that. All right, so we're at Western State College. Quarter systems. I'm cruising, you know, I'm cruising through school. I got straight A's in physical education, but recreation, methods of teaching and coaching, all the sports and stuff like that. But I really liked exercise physiology and kinesiology. It just fascinated me, and it really was fun. Well, then in the fraternity, that was another, you know, move through the chairs. I was all the officers. I was president of the group. Went to New Mexico with guys that were older than me before that happened. And we had a regional meeting, you know. It was 3.5 days, and I can tell you about one. I mean, these guys were older than me, had a fake ID, right? We were partying. I do remember we played golf, and there was a casino night. But that's it. I don't know anything else that went on for that other 2 days. It was tough. Then also, we got a gig. I became treasurer of the Associated Student Body. What a deal. So I got a little salary. And then whenever we would put on an event or there was an event at the college, I'm in charge of getting the cashiers. My wife was always there, got paid, or the security and ticket takers, which is the fraternity. So we had a 1-2 punch going there. I got a salary. And then when I went to work, I got paid. I remember one time we had a concert come. We did the cultural arts things. We did the concerts. We did the football, wrestling, basketball, all of that stuff. And the concert comes in. Mr. Goodman, he was our advisor. He says, you know, there can be no smoking. There can be no smoking in the gym. Come on. And it's packed. It's packed. And there's smoke everywhere. And it's like I've lost control. So I just went up into the rafters and sat there and enjoyed the concert. Because there's no turning back now. And the next concert we had guys patting them down, taking away the booze and the bottles and all. And it was not as much fun as the one that got out of control. But I fired a guy there who was out smoking. And I said, you can't be smoking. There's no smoking in here. But the experiences were tremendous on Western State College of Colorado. All campus life. I barely went fishing, barely went shooting. I just, you know, I was into it with the Associated Student Body and the fraternity. It was just great stuff. And it made my day when my little girl, she was going to go to Johnson & Wales and become a baker. And then we went down there a couple of times. It was over a year. And then she's going to move to the kitchen. And then she's going to move to the front of the house. She and a girlfriend take a trip, and she comes home and says, Daddy, I'm going to be a mountaineer. So I get to go to Gunnison a lot of times to see her and put her up in a place that we still own over there. And I live in Gunnison in a heartbeat. All right, professional career. My big brother in the fraternity got me a job at City of Longmont. So, boom, right out of college. I got out in March, April, the first part of April. I'm working in the utilities department at City of Longmont, desk job and all. But you can tell, you know, I'm kind of a pumped up guy and I'm like triple behavior. And so I was counting kilowatt hours, gallons of water, suspended solids, you know, putting together budgets and all. I could do my job in 2 days. So the third of the month, I'm done. You know? I mean, I'm done. And I remember once I went over to Tom and I says, okay, I got that. And he said, here's the deal. Make this last till Tuesday. So I had to just slow down, run the calculator. He went on to New Mexico, and then I got promoted to the utilities analyst. And we crammed 4 hours of work into 8 hours, 9 months a year. I mean, I'd go uptown and see Ray in utility billing. I'd be out with the guy that ran the lines up in Lyons, holding the dummy end of a survey stick, you know, nothing to do. And only about 2 months a year did we work hard doing the budgets, presenting to the city council and also public service. So my days of running the ASA budget really came in handy for me in my professional career. And of all the classes I took thinking about that, the 10 key office administration was the one I used most. Because I can run a 10 key, boom, I can run a tape and you can be great. All right, where are we? Okay, so I'm out working there, and then Robin and I get married in 77. And then I come down with Hodgkin's disease. I told you about that. This treatment for 18 months, it's amazing. We kind of pulled through that. Well, it's getting yicky at the city. You know, I just can't find enough stuff to do because it's boring. And the management is falling apart. People are leaving. The gal I hired, Saran, where is she this afternoon? I don't know. And I go talk to Larry. He's the electric, head of the electric department. He's here. Well, where's Carl? I don't know. He's gone. They're having an affair. All right. And they'd be gone 2 hours in the afternoon here and there. And we used to have big time parties, if you can imagine that. And we'd go out to the office, which was a Mexican restaurant. We'd eat, you know, and I see them holding hands under the table. Oh, I'm going, hey. So I go my upline. I say, you know, this is going on. It's just nasty. So I leave 4 years to the day working for the city of Longmont. And I got in at University of Northern Colorado in Greeley doing my master's. The next week, I'd have been in this meeting. It was a water bond meeting or something. In comes the estranged husband and kills the boyfriend and the finance director that came in from the other office. And I'd have been in that room, out and out. And so that's something that I use in my Dale Carnegie training a lot. We can't do that now, but it was the structure and what was going on there, and bad. It was bad. So two people are dead, and I'd have been wounded, or probably, or not that I was part of the fair, but I'd have been in the room for sure. All right, so we get out of there. We go to grad school, straight A's. I've got a bachelor's or a master's of science in finance and management information systems, and went 9 months unemployed, trying to get, you know, something going. Well, because I had good grades and I was a graduate student or grad, I got to interview with Mountain Bell. This was a time when hiring was really low, and I got on at Mountain Bell. So I spent 2.5 years there programming, and they really liked what I did. And so they sent me to assembler school. Has anybody ever programmed in a similar language? I mean, this is hits left logical. It's horrible. And I didn't like that job. And then they finally moved me into an administrative kind of position where I was security, RACF coordinator, and JCL and all this stuff, which I didn't like that much either. But I got out of that because I got to join my dad at Bonded Business Services here in Boulder. It's a collection agency. You know, we dial for dollars, smile and dial, trying to get people to come in. And that career was good for me, a base, foundational base. took the company from cards, you know, writing on cards to computer, to predictive dialer. Went through all the chairs for Colorado, Wyoming, on the board of directors, president, twice. National board of directors. A neat career. And along the way, I was on the board of the YMCA. It was good. I was a director or something over there. We got an exchange with Ireland. So I was the director, and we took a program guy and then another gal that was, you know, down the line. And we stayed with our counterparts. So I was in the home of a director and his wife, and he was with us and all that. And we're in Belfast, and it was so exciting to go through there and stay with and learn more than you would normally. Two other big parts of my career were the Dale Carnegie training. And I don't think I'd be where I am today without How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, because right after I finished that, we got this Hodgkin's disease. And plus, I'm a jerk. You can tell I'm an SOB. And so if I hadn't had something take the edge off, Robin reminds me of this often. But at Dale Carnegie, we didn't just do a little Dale Carnegie. I mean, I taught back-to-back, overlap, six-course instructor, part owner of the franchise. I mean, we went at it. And this is the first class I did solo, just like teaching. You have to do student teaching and all. go through the ranks. So this is up in Loveland, and they gave me this plaque, and there are 44 names on there, plus 6 graduate assistants, 14-week program, 100% graduation. And I got after them. I think my graduation rate over these years was like 95 or better percent. And when I got into the leadership training for managers, they were just, wow, you're great, because I do that with my business. And then I put those position results descriptions and those planning and organizing, directing, all of that into the classroom, and that went well. The other big deal in my life is,
here you go. International Fellowship of Certified Collector.
By the way, these all came out of a box. I don't have these on display. Okay. And this one, I became an instructor, a coast-to-coast teaching professional telephone techniques, fair debt collections practice, that act sales. I did over 75 classes for them. It was great because I could travel and see some really neat stuff. And I dust on this one, Stephen F. Thompson, outstanding graduation for strategic presentation workshop and high impact presentations. I got a bunch of these. I didn't pay attention to anything. But this is the other one that I did so much of. One more thing here, guys. I do think of myself as an expert at bylaws, because I did it on the local level. I did it at the YMCA. I know how to break down bylaws, run Robert's Rules of Order. So I don't put a tail on that. I'm the president there. But my sports officiating. My son was playing hoops, and I'd always dreamt of doing that down at the YMCA. You know, I played in the NBA for 20 years, New Basketball Association. Another guy I knew that his son played basketball. You know, and he said, Steve, you'd be good at this. And so in 2000, I became a basketball official. Also, I didn't eat raw chocolate chips that year. That was a big goal for me. You know, and so the first year, now this is, you know, camps and training. And I ran 179 games. Next year, I ran 179 games. The next year, it got down to about 100. And then I got varsity schedules. So varsity's 40 games. And then you fill in with middle school and junior varsity and stuff like that. Got myself up to area director and spent a lot of time in that, trying to develop new people to do basketball. Then I picked up football 2 years later. My dad played football. He was on 2 undefeated teams in Oklahoma. And, of course, I played as a freshman until I got my ass beat. And so that was good. And then the next year I got girls fast pitch softball, because Robin and I played a lot. I played a lot of fast pitch and slow pitch softball. And so that was a big time career for me to spend all that time doing it. And again, I got this thing from Chasa. Poor Tom Robinson died, you know, right after he retired, which is tragic. He and I got on really good. And he sent me a beautiful letter. But, you know, for 21 years of dedicated service, Colorado basketball, softball, football official, 20 to 21. My eyes gave out on me, so I can't see it well anymore, so I had to quit. Because I couldn't see or hear anyway. And that's why they don't like me as an official. Right. I know he doesn't know what he's doing. Well, that's kind of the story.
He's gone.
Promise Keepers. I think I've told you about that. I became point man over there. Went through elders, and we put together speakers once a month. And my peak, we had 180 guys one Saturday. And, you know, helped the ministers and all that. And now I'm trying to scratch out what's next. And along with some grandkids, trying to corral those characters, is this Billy Graham thing you heard about last week. I'm going to try to go tomorrow to Roosevelt High School, and I think we're going to hear the same thing. And then there's some training in August and the big rally in October. So that's what I got. Thanks for putting up with me. Amen. Now you know a little bit more about me. Really, thank you guys that have gone before me and those that are coming up. It's really a kick to talk about. It's like writing your own obituary, you know? And when my dad died, he'd written his obituary 7 times before he passed. We knew what to say.
Tell us about our...
Yeah, let's get some Q&A here for Steve. Go ahead, John.
Tell us about Jesus and how and when.
That one I've already done. But I knew Jesus was with me throughout my life, but I didn't know his name. That's my tagline. And so, yeah, we were immersed in 1988, I think. I was scared to death of that. Nudging around,
yeah, they've got the hot tub up there, you know, what are they doing?
So we go up, and that was the day that the heater was out. So I got dunked in a cold water. So God has a sense of
hot tub. That's funny.
Cool.
Well, one thing, Steve, that you said about four or five times that you won't hear in my testimony, and that is, I got straight A's. So, Steve's a classic overachiever. When you throw yourself into something, clearly you take it all the way.